pulpit. If you'd like to see this later on, it's one of the ones that I keep in my Bible. It is, it's a picture that I kept in my Bible when we went to Texas to do our goodbyes and bring comfort for the service down there for the family of Rich Gillies. And it's a picture of Arlene. And standing next to Arlene is Rich Gillies. And somehow, I don't know, Bob brought a wig in and Rich was wearing this wig and Arlene's kind of peeking out under it. And it just brings a smile to my heart because I knew how much Rich enjoyed. He enjoyed church. He enjoyed church people. I don't know what your opinion of church is. I don't know if you... Everybody has an individual reason for attending church. I've enjoyed coming to church. I've enjoyed the people, the individuals that God, through His wisdom, allowed come into my life. I believe church ought a place you ought to come and just be yourself and worship Him. Think you ought to worship Him in spirit and in truth. When it's time to laugh, I think you ought to laugh together. When it's time to shed a tear, I think we ought to cry together. So please, last week at the annual meeting was held here at Mount Calvary Church right after the service. So many people in attendance, more than we'd ever had before. Wonderful ideas were thrown out about how we can do our best to serve Him in the upcoming year. But the thing that is so impressive to me about how people can come in from such diverse backgrounds and be in one mind, one spirit, and one accord. It amazes me how, and I know we have different jobs and different responsibilities, we have different demands upon our time. But when you come into God's house, you simply start to sing the songs about the Master. Jesus, 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 something about that name. His Spirit is able to just melt our hearts and our minds, our very being together. And I thank God for that. We've been very fortunate here at Mount Calvary. A spirit of unity. We have our individual characters. It's good to see Eric and Martha come in the back there. We hadn't seen them since they got off the boat. We were able to go down to enjoy such wonderful Bibles along the cruise, and one of the fellows, I think it was Josh, came up to me and said, "You know, Bob, he really cares for you as his pastor." I said, "Oh, is that right?" He said, "Yeah." Talking about your preaching, he has even likened it to Billy Graham. I said, "Well, what did he say?" And Bob kept saying, "You know, Charlie, he's no Billy Graham. He's no Billy Graham." So that shows love. That shows love. And how we are able to just simply join together in worship. You will see us up here at certain times, and I have fun when I come to church, and I carry on with these guys, but at the same time, trust me, folks, when that difficult time comes, the person that I have had a chance to joke around, to laugh with, to simply be yourself, that is the person that I want to call upon and say, "Will you pray with me? Will you pray for me?" And hopefully you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a challenge that we face. I'm reading in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, such a precious, precious book in the New Testament. Beginning in that first chapter, and that seventh verse is one that you can just simply latch on and hold on to. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Timothy, who was so reluctant, didn't think he had what it took to serve God. But the apostle telling him that you have received this, not of yourself, but of God, that spirit of power, that spirit of love and of a sound mind. Then down in the second chapter, reading from the first verse, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Here, the writer begins calling us as soldiers for Christ Jesus. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And then our focus today is in the fifth verse. And also, if anyone competes in athletics. Now, before I continue, how many have played sports? Come on, wave at me out there. You know what I'm talking about, played sports. If anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Then he goes on to talk about the hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all thanks. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing unto the reading of your word today. Open our minds and hearts and let us receive that word from you, Heavenly Father. We'll give you all the glory that you so richly deserve. In Jesus' name, all God's people said amen. Amen. I love the Olympics. Comes around once every 4 years, in the wintertime, 4 years in the summertime, 2 years you'll have the Summer Olympics. I was very fortunate to have attended in 1976 the Summer Olympics, which were held in a country called Montreal, Canada. What a wonderful treat for a young man to go up and to see. And at that time, things were quite different. We didn't have the safety issues that you've heard about time and time again, about so much disturbance over in Russia. One thing I do want to bring to you, the temperature in Russia. Do you remember what it was at Soho? Anybody catch that temperature yesterday? 50 degrees. It was 50 degrees at the main center, about 20 degrees warmer than it was here in Northern Virginia. So don't you feel terrible for those fellows that made that trip over to Russia. I was so impressed when I had the opportunity to go up. I was so impressed because at that time, and went up as a trio. We sang songs. We handed out tracts. Went and visited churches. And we got to meet so many wonderful, wonderful people. And at that time, without all the security concerns that we have during this day, you could actually walk into what is known as the Olympic Stadium at that time, where they had the track and field events, and you could sit in the stands during the practice time for free. I had enough money in my wallet that I could handle free. So in attendance, that's where I was. I was able to sit, and it was so unique that the athletes were there and they would practice. And those of you that have ever been around runners, and when they were done, they would go sit and rest in the stands. You'd sit there. Mr. Davenport, one of the greatest hurdlers of all time, sat and struck up a conversation. You could talk to the athletes there in the Olympic Stadium during the practice time. And I was so impressed by the dedication that I saw in individuals. Myself, I always thought I would never be an Olympic athlete. Mainly because, although I wore this shirt because they say that that stripes are slimming, right? Actually, I just look like a heavy-set man in a striped shirt. So we have to come to certain realizations. But I always question my mind about how an athlete can practice and dedicate themselves for 4 years when a lot of times their event only lasts for a matter of seconds. 4 years preparation. And then it comes down to just a matter of either minutes or seconds. So when talking to athletes and just simply being moved by their sense of dedication, I was curious. The conversation came about and I go, how do you handle the pressure? And I said, well, we don't handle pressure, we handle preparation. If you have done it as many times as we have done it over and over and over again, you are prepared to go out there and hopefully do your best when the gun goes off. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The rules of God. We are challenged in our Christian walk day to day. Dare I say that you've heard more sermons in your lifetime if you just simply look back upon them. You've heard sermons on every subject that is brought about in this book that is open in front of me. You've heard challenges. I think when you come to church, you ought to come with an open mind, with an open heart. I think you ought to come to church with a willingness to allow God to change you. I believe God in His wisdom, He allows us to learn from His Word. He allows us to learn from those that He has brought into contact around us. And we learn from God's Holy Spirit, which touches our hearts. It's that special thing. It's a thing you feel inside. I want to come to church and I want to feel something. I want to open His Word. I want to read His Word. But I want that Word to mean something to me in my heart. I want to feel a change. Dear Mount Calvary, thank you to everyone who sent Christmas cards and to everyone who continues to keep me in their thoughts and prayers. I pray that everyone had a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. Well, for me, I'm doing great and I am staying positive. I am walking closer with God each and every day. I am so grateful for the relationship that I have with Him today and the want and desire by the grace of God to change my ways to better myself for my future. I go to sentencing February the 28th. So I ask everyone to pray for me. I am humble and ready to accept whatever God has planned for me. I have faith that when He feels I'm ready, they will let me go. A little special note here to Yolanda. Thanks so much for the prayers that you sent. I always enjoy them. Can you send me the words to Amazing Grace? I would really appreciate it. Also, please, someone give my grandparents a hug and a kiss for me. They're not here today. For they are so amazing and always there for me. I don't know what I would do without them. God bless. Love. Wes. Change. I could sit here and talk to you. I could read other scriptures. I could give you illustrations. But there's nothing that moves a soul as much as an individual when they give their testimony about how God is making change happen in their lives. A young man who understands that there are rules, and he has accepted in his heart of hearts, this is God's will. And according to his will, there will be a time where he will be released. Hopefully back into a society that looks on him with warmth, not disdain, for the mistakes that have been made. Folks, we have a great opportunity. We live in a time where information just abounds. We live in a time where this country is, although you may think and you may point to things and you may question and you may, trust me folks, we are very fortunate to be here in this country. Not only for the freedoms, but the wealth that this country has. But we're in a time where people are searching for something. We're at a time when people are at unrest. We're at a time where people want something that they can hold on to. I want something solid in my life. And I want it to come from God's Word. I wanted it when I read the challenges that I hear, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who entrusted him as a soldier. I want to be challenged by what I read in God's Word. I want to get it from headquarters. I'm tired of hearing it from hindquarters. That's what you hear on the radio and the news a lot of times. I want to know that my life is going to matter to something for God by the way that he allows me to interact with others. I believe that we as churches ought to be known for what we stand for. We ought to be known as conveyors of love and warmth and understanding. Friends, the days of pointing fingers, because remember, as the old saying, you point one, there's three more coming right back at you. Everybody knows that. Churches, where revival begins. How do you start that revival? You just make a simple circle. And as you finish that circle, remember, you are the one that are standing in the middle. And that individual who gets excited and on fire for, that's where revival begins. Revival in churches. Revival in relationships. Revival in the way that you are treated and act in your workplace, in your home life. I believe it begins right here in church. Now, I'm not going to be like the preacher who stood in front of the congregation on a Sunday morning with a big, big band-aid on the side of his face and said, I apologize. I was thinking about the sermon as I was shaving and I cut my face. And somebody later came up and said, well, next time, why don't you concentrate on shaving and cut the sermon? I'm not going to do that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to allow you to be a part of God's love. I'm going to allow you to be a part of the ministry. We're going to encourage you to reach out to that individual that only you have their confidence. You have friends, you have neighbors, you have co-workers. You have people that the only Jesus they're going to see is you, folks. You're going to have folks out there, the only kind word that they may hear may come from you. And although you have struggles, although you have challenges, although you have things going upon in your life that you are dealing with yourself, if you will simply stay true to the words, the rules that are found in here, if you'll stay true to the concept that the writer, as he began this chapter, for God has given us a spirit of fear, but not of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That to me is a foundation. It's a secure heritage. You may not have grown up in a family that you'd refer to as being all that great. Well, God has given you a family here. You may not think that you have spiritual gifts, but I'll tell you folks, you do. Each one of you are special individuals in God's eyes. And I think most of all, He gives us the desire and the want for that sound mind. We got more religious weirdos out there than at any time in history, folks. Silly. I hear about them, I hear these things, and I just scratch my head. I believe in what is written in this book. I believe in the Word of God. I believe in Jesus Christ as a personal Savior dying upon a cross for my sins and for yours. I believe in something that is time-tested, that is true. I finished by telling you on Tuesday I'm going down and we're having a graveside service, and I have a first cousin up in the mountains. His name is Ronnie Wood. He's bringing his guitar. He sings with the Little Mountain Boys. And in talking to my mother, I was looking for some insight about what she wanted brought up at the funeral. Brought a brother, and this brother she's very, very close to. And she told me something. I got a little chuckle out. She says, well, what you say will probably be pretty good. Emphasis on probably. But why don't you just sing some old hymns? Because, you know, everybody likes them old hymns. She said that old song, Circle, Be Unbroken. She says, I think most everybody knows that. And if they don't, they ought to. So, whether you're speaking in words, whether you're sharing in music, you simply share something from your heart. Because when you do that, God will honor it. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come in your house today. We have sung praises. We have read your word. We've asked you to come in to lead us, guide us, and direct us. And you've done that, God. You've allowed us as a congregation to raise so many hands lifting up needs. And we heard just stories that would simply just move our hearts of people that have physical needs. Heavenly Father, we need you to take care of the spiritual needs, the financial needs. We need you to take care of the details of our life. And we know you'll do that because you've done it for us in the past. We've got individuals who are coming into the area looking for God. You just put the right people in the right spot so that your will be done. Heavenly Father, we pray now for those that couldn't make it here today. We pray for those that are simply suffering. But God, we also pray that for those that hear the sound of my voice, that you will challenge us. challenge us to be soldiers worthy of you, allowing us to compete in the race. Allow us to run that race well, as the word says. Now, God, give us safe traveling mercies. We thank you for the service today. We thank you for each one that took part. Thank you for our guests and for our friends that we haven't seen in a bit, and allowing them to come back, return to us safely. We ask now that you'll give us safe traveling mercies, and we will be used of you. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. All God's